Welcome to the 52 Greatest Chapters of the Bible. John Barnett here. If it's your first time joining us, you're actually in our small group. And Bonnie and I are full-time traveling missionaries. We teach in Bible institutes and seminaries and Bible colleges. And right now, we're doing a lot during this COVID season. We're doing a lot of online classes. And you're right in the middle of our small group Bible study we do with those that pray for us and kind of go with us as we are journeying around the country and around the world. But we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, but I want to read to you the ending of the Gospel of John, chapter 20, the second to the last chapter, verse 31. It says, "But these are written," that's the whole book of the Gospel by John, "are written that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." We're beginning the study of the Gospel by John. As you see in your slide, this is our 29th week, and we've gotten to John chapter 1. The method we're using is a survey of the whole Bible. And online, you can read in the description for this lesson. You can read the tools we use, but basically, we get a journal, and this is my journal right here. And in the front of the journal, I downloaded from our website all of the, in fact, you can go to Facebook, to the 52 Greatest Chapters of the Bible, and this two-page document is there, and you can paste it in your journal, just a plain old moleskin. You can read about that. Again, my favorites down in the description. And I have a two-page spread for every one of our assignments. And let me get to John chapter 1. So this is what I've worked on all week long. And I've written down the title, as you see on this slide right here, and the lessons, and then an application prayer. And I'm going to go through all of those with you and show you. I've typed them out because it's kind of hard to read my scribbling. But the 52 greatest chapters are, for me, after reading the Bible through over 100 times, the chapters that when you put them all together, they give you a complete overview of the message of the Bible, all the great themes of the Bible, proper theology, an understanding of the doctrine of God and all the major Christian doctrines. They're covered in these 52 chapters, as well as an overview of all the key parts of the Christian life the Lord wants for us. So when we got to week 25, we got into the New Testament. We've looked at Christ's birth, Sermon on the Mount, the Great Commission. We studied parables and Jesus' 36 parables and what he was attempting to do and why he switched over to only teaching in parables. That was last week. But now look where we are. The eternal word is Christ. The Gospel by John is a unique gospel. There are four gospels. The first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are synoptic, which means they see the same group of events. John is different. The synoptics over here, John is looking at what I just read to you, the seven signs that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I'm going to show you those seven signs and explain that. So that's where we are. And we have three more incredible weeks in the Gospel by John. We're going to look at the new birth and Nicodemus and how Jesus incorporates the Old Testament into the new. Then we're going to see Jesus walking around the temple, teaching the Good Shepherd, and the overlay of all the feasts. I mean, it's going to be so exciting to see the backdrop, kind of to understand the bigger picture of the New Testament. And then looking at the Gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, one of the resources that I recommend often that's also available on our website, discoverthebook.org, is the resource called the 250 events of the life of Christ. Now, basically, what you see in front of you is the four Gospels. And remember, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptics, and John is that unique divine perspective. But if you take everything Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record about Christ and put them in chronological order, you get 250 events that go from, number one, Luke's purpose in writing. That's the first event. See, it's Luke 1, 1 to 4. Then we go right into the incarnation of Jesus. John covers that in God becoming a human being, John 1, 1 through 18. Then we find the birth or the ancestors of Jesus in Matthew 1 and Luke 3. Do you see what I mean? It's the events in order showing where they occur. Now look, some things, this one is only in Luke. This one is only in John. Matthew and Luke cover the third event. Why I'm telling you that is, look, we're looking at John chapter 1, which is these three events down here and this event up here. So that's what this chart does. It shows you if another one of the Gospels covers what we're covering. And I want you to have that in the back of your mind, because over the years, for decades, when I've taught the Bible, I would say, oh, and of course, you know that Luke said this, and people go, how did you know that? And I said, you use one of the life of Christ chronological charts, and you see the life of Christ in sequence. And a lot of them say, I don't know, where do you buy that and whatever. So that's why I took from the MacArthur Study Bible here. Let me get this. There is a chronology of the life of Christ, all the events here in the Study Bible. And I took that as my template. And then I put in all of these, you notice the temple, Nazareth, Ein Kerem, the signs, the life of Christ, events. The first event is Christ's birth, and then his baptism, and then his temptation is the third event. Do you notice that I've taken just the typical events of the life of Christ, and I've overlaid it for teaching, both geography and history, as well as theology. So I want you to see this chart, and specifically, this part is what we're covering today. Now, let me show you my journal. First, this is my journal. I wrote as a title, The Divine, God the Son, Jesus is All I Need. I wrote a summary, the seven titles of Christ, and then the prayer that I'm going to read to you at the end. And so I did all of those. But for you, as you're working on it this week, what I would suggest is that first you read John chapter 1. Now, before you read, I've told you this many times, I pray Psalm 119, verse 18. Every time I read the Bible, this is what I do. I say, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your word. That's what Psalm 119, 18 says. That's the prayer of the Bible student. That's the prayer of a sheep wanting to hear the voice. You know, my sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. That's my cry to my good shepherd. Teach me from your word. Then, whatever I'm studying, after I pray, I read the whole chapter. Now, let me show you my Bible. Do you see all the colors and marks and everything? I read aggressively. Now, some people drive aggressively. Some people talk aggressively. Some people are aggressive business people. I'm not into much aggression other than reading aggressively. And by that, I mean, I can hardly read without having a pen in my hand, close by my highlighters. You notice that I've highlighted these pages, but they don't come through the other side. So you get pigment highlighters, and you mark up, and I have all these different colored pens because I want to interact learning from the scriptures every time I read it. So read the whole chapter, John's Gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Read it through each day. So you're going to end up reading this first chapter seven times. Each time you read, mark things. I'm going to show you what to look for. I've read it 125 times because I've read the New Testament more than the Old. And so I have each time found something different. So I'm going to share with you the best stuff that I've found. But here we go. This is my journal. At the top, I've written, you know, the 52 greatest chapters, week 29. We're in John 1. I typed in. Now, I found each time I read, I give a different title, but I don't want to bore you with my titles. So just one is Jesus is the Eternal Word. The one on the blackboard, I wrote, Jesus is the Word. And that's what I titled this lesson. So what I want you to realize is there's no one right answer. A lot of people labor. They don't even want to write in their journal. They definitely don't want to write anything in their Bible. They're afraid they'll make a mistake. You're not going to make a mistake. This is your personal exploration and discovery of God's Word. You're starting, inviting the Lord to speak to you, and then by faith, you're believing He's anointing and illumining you, and you start reading. Now, I'll show you the tracks in my Bible in just a minute. I summarize the chapter. John introduces Jesus as God the Son, the eternal Word. He's witnessed to by John the Baptist, and near the end of the chapter, He's the Lamb of God. Then I start listing off the lessons. So I have the title, the summary, then I write lessons. Then number one in my journal, I have numbered them. And the first lesson is the first five verses. Jesus is the eternal God, the Son. He is creator. He is life and light. And I wrote a note to myself that if Jesus is the light, I want to turn toward the light. Now you can't see it, but there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, in this little studio we're in, where we're serving this week, there are seven lights. And if you want the light to affect you, you turn toward the light. Jesus said, I'm the light, turn toward me. I love with my plants to see the effects of plants. It's called phototropism. And there's geotropism and phototropism. Geotropism is if you turn a plant upside down, it will grow the direction that up is with gravity. I wonder what they do out in outer space when there's no gravity. But phototropism is a plant, if you keep turning it, it will always grow toward the light. See, God has built into plants something we need to learn. We need to go toward the light. So I wrote that. Turn to the light. Then in verses 6 to 13, now, do you see how simple this is? If you're just joining us, people join us every week. I've noticed that the class is getting bigger and bigger in the people that are joining us. If you have never done this before, what you write in your journal is what you see. This is between you and the Lord. This is not a class you're going to get, you know, the Pulitzer Prize for. This is what you're going to get the God-illumined blessing of Bible study from. So I just wrote, it's so simple. Point two, verses 6 to 13, God sent John to point to Christ. That's what I saw when I read it. You might see something different. Something else will jump out. It'll be about the same topic, but write it down. We must receive Him. That's what verse 12 says. As many as receive Him. So I wrote, we must receive Him to become His children. By the way, that's one of my convictions. I'm an evangelical. You know what that means? It means that I was born lost and I had to be saved. In other words, just because I was born into a Christian family where my mom and dad had been attending church for a long time, just because my parents went to church and I went to church my whole life, did not make me a Christian. That's why verse 12 is so important. We must receive Him. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus was calling people to receive Him. Have you ever received Christ? Have you ever called on the name of the Lord? Or are you thinking that your parents christened you or baptized you or did something, confirmed you or something? No. We have to go from being lost to saved. And Jesus, in chapter 3, we're going to see that next week, calls that the new birth. He said, just like you have a birthday when you were born the first time, you have to have a birth the second time, the new birth. Okay? Then, the third lesson I found is from verses 14 to 17. Jesus is full of grace and truth. From Jesus, we have grace upon grace and truth. But look at this. I wrote, my response is, I want to I want to receive the Son. As too many as receive him, that's by faith. I receive his word. I receive all the benefits of sonship. I just want to be receptive to all that the Son of God is offering. My first reception was salvation, but I feed. See, Jesus said, truly born again people keep feeding on him. You say, that's kind of weird. No, it's turning toward the light. Photosynthesis, the light interacting with the plant causes the whole system to work. That's what Jesus feeding on him is. He is the source of light and truth and life. He is the bread of life. That's what John explains to us. And so I want to encourage you to grow in that this week. And then the fourth thing I learned is in verse 18, God is invisible, but Jesus reveals him. Then I continued. My fifth lesson is John was a voice unworthy to do even the lowliest service. He was very humble. And we are, verse 23, to choose to make our paths straight. I was thinking about that this week. I was reading Drudge, you know, that news aggregator called Drudge. Whatever aggregator you use, you might have noticed that they had a big article. And the article this week was the pornification of Netflix. I thought, what is that? It was an article, a news update, a business article saying that Netflix has found that to keep people watching all their in-house series, they have to get them racier and racier and racier. Look at this. Do you see what I'm writing on the screen? We're supposed to choose the straight path, the narrow road. In other words, what the psalmist says, do you know what the psalmist said? I will set nothing, that's Psalm 101, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Some of you might need to look that verse up. Did you know that's a choice? If Bonnie and I are watching anything and all of a sudden you start seeing, you know, the telltale signs of something is going to happen, you grab that remote so fast. And it doesn't matter if you miss, you go past it or you turn it off. I mean, depending on what you're seeing. Because God is not pleased when we look at gratuitous bloodshed. He is not pleased when we look at anything to do with demonic activity and wickedness, other than in a teaching and warning and understanding spiritual things. But to be entertained by demonism, to be entertained by immorality, to be entertained by gratuitous murder. By the way, the headlines right after pornification of Netflix said that there's a new horror movie coming out that says it's far surpasses any other movie as far as its lavish murders and bloodshed and cruel stuff. We are to make our paths straight and set nothing wicked before our eyes. Sixth thing that I learned, Jesus is the Lamb of God and I trust him as my sacrifice. The disciples follow Jesus as the Lamb and I want to follow him. And Jesus is the Messiah, the King that we're to follow and serve. And it's interesting, he alludes to the stairway to heaven. You remember Jacob had this dream in the Old Testament, the patriarch Jacob, and he was sleeping with his head on a stone as his pillow. And all of a sudden in his dreams, he saw a ladder reaching to heaven and the angels coming back and forth. That's what Jesus is. He is the ladder, the stairway to heaven. You want to get to heaven? You grab him. And he's the one that takes us and we follow him. Okay, that's what was in my notes. Now, let me just show you the first chapter geographically, okay? Because one of the principles of interpretation is that the more we understand the grammar, the history, the culture, the background, the words that God chose, the more fully we understand the message. So let's look at the geography. We're in the autumn of 26, the beginning of Christ's ministry. He begins in the city of Nazareth. That's where it is. He goes down to Bethabara and he's baptized. Ah, look. That's what it talks about in John 1:28. It says these things were done in Bethabara. Look in your Bible, you'll see that, okay? And it's also, see, if you look at the parallel passage on that chart, it's in Matthew 3 and Mark 1, okay? Then Jesus goes to his temptation. That's down outside of Jericho, where he's 40 days in the wilderness, and that's in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. And then it says in John 3, we're not covering that chapter, that he's in Salem after that. But look at what John 1, 13 to 51 is about. It's about Jesus and his first disciples in Nathanael's hometown in Cana and how Jesus meets them. And then, of course, Jesus goes up here to Cana from after his baptism, and he's launching his ministry as he goes to Galilee. Now, the bigger picture of John's gospel, and this is part of what, as you study your study Bible, and as you look at that 250 event chart, I have noted all of these sign miracles. You say, what are the sign miracles? Well, it says in chapter 20, verse 30, it says, these signs were given. So what signs? There are seven of them. Here they are. They're in chapter 2, the turning water into wine. Chapter 4, it actually says this beginning of signs in chapter 2. In chapter 4, it says this was the second sign. So the gospel by John is being built around this grid. It's kind of like this framework. It's the fabric being sewn together around seven signs. Third sign, the curing of the Bethesda paralytic. Remember when he's laid out by the pool? The feeding the 5,000, Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee, giving sight to the man born blind, and the raising of Lazarus. Now, what are the signs for? Now, this is what I wrote in my journal. I'm not expecting you. Most of you maybe are just starting out. Now, I know I get notes from you. Some of you, I just got a note from, I don't remember, honey, what country she was from, but she said, I do ladies ministry in Australia or whatever, and we're doing the 52 chapters. And she said, you haven't posted this week's yet. And I said, yeah, Bonnie and I are full-time missionaries, and sometimes we don't have Wi-Fi. And so I'm trying to get them posted on time. But she said, you know, I'm a Bible teacher and I've studied the Bible all my life and all this. You might be like that. Or I have a pastor, he's leading his church through the 52 greatest chapters, and there are many small groups, or you're just starting out. In fact, some of you, you just found this video. Like I hear in the notes section, they said that YouTube dropped it into your feed. Actually, I think the Lord did. I don't know if I would blame YouTube for giving you a Bible lesson, but this is what I wrote in my notes. The first three sign miracles show how we get saved, how salvation comes to the sinner. Water into wine, here's where they are, so you can look them up and mark them in your Bible. This is a great exercise to mark those seven signs. Salvation is miraculous. Remember, Jesus just, it was a miracle that plain water turned into wine. Why is it a miracle? Because water can become wine if you add grape juice and add a lot of time and fermentation, but he did it instantly. Jesus is Lord of time and creation. Nothing exists apart from him. The nobleman's son, where Jesus spoke a word and this faraway event took place, salvation is by faith. Jesus is Lord of space. No distance hinders him. That means I can pray right now for the Lord to be at work. In Bobani and I regularly do this for the other side of the world, where we often are working in Asia. We're 12,000 miles away, but we pray. And space does not, you know, distance and time does not hinder the Lord. He is at work. The paralytic, salvation is by grace. See, salvation is miraculous. It's by faith. It's by grace. That's how it comes to us. Jesus is our healer. Nothing is impossible to him. The last four of the seven show what happens when we get saved. This is how we get saved. This is the result of getting saved. The feeding of the 5,000, salvation brings satisfaction. Did you know that's part of the advertisement for Christ all of us are supposed to be? I still remember when Bonnie and I were eating We were on we were backpacking. You know how you have these dreams of what you can do in life. And I said, honey, I want to take you back. You lived in Denmark before you were a Christian. I want to take you back to visit and see your relatives and your friends. And so we saved up our money and took one of those cheap flights that you are so cramped. And we had backpacks and we traveled and visited all around Europe. And finally, one night, we slept on the trains, by the way. And we had slept on the trains one too many times. And we were so greasy. Well, I was. Bonnie was. And I was greasy and sweaty. And, you know, I said, honey, let's pay for a room. And I need to shave and take a shower. This sleeping on trains is too much for me. So we did. It was so nice. And I shaved and everything. And we even went to the restaurant. And we found the cheapest thing on the menu of this place we were staying. And we sat there, because we couldn't believe we were sitting still and not rocking on the train. And we read our Bible to each other. We regularly, you know, as newlyweds used to read a chapter a day, and we alternate verses. It was very fun. We still do that. After 2 hours, we noticed a couple walking up to our table, and they said, excuse us. And I looked up, and boy, they were dressed for dinner, and we weren't. And they said, could we sit with you? And I thought, sure, you know. And they sat down and they said, we've watched you for 2 hours. And the man said, why are you so tranquil? This was in Bavaria. This was in Germany. We were at the base of the castle that Disney World has at the center, only it's the real one. And this European couple sitting over there, watch this for 2 hours. Look at this. Salvation brings satisfaction. When you eat the bread of life, you're different. And unsaved people can see it. And you know what we got to do? Share the gospel. And you know what we got to give them? A gospel tract. And if you've never given out a gospel tract, I keep one always in my wallet. And down in the comment section or the description of the video, I put some links to just a few of my favorite tracks. You ought to be satisfied in Christ and share the gospel. The storm that Jesus calms, salvation brings peace. They saw that too. The blind man, salvation brings light. Remember, we turn toward the light. Salvation brings life. And Jesus said, not just life, but life more abundant. Okay. Also, not only are there seven of these sign miracles, there are seven I am statements. Here, I did them all for you. In chapter 6, 8, 10, 10, 11, 14, and 15, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. Now you say, wow, what do you mean by all those? Study Bible. There's a whole section on every one of these I am statements, on every one of these sign miracles. This study Bible is equivalent to getting a first-year seminary education. If you read the scripture and the footnotes at the bottom, 25,000 of them, it's like going to school. Okay, next, and this is what I'm going to conclude with. Chapter 1, see, John 1, 1, 1, 1. This is what I found as I read through chapter 1. As I noted everything I found, I started seeing a pattern. There are seven, look on your screen, titles of Jesus. He is called the Word, the Light, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the King of Israel, the Son of Man. And you know what I wrote in my Bible? He is the Word. So I wrote in my Bible, I want to listen to Him. He is the Light. I want to turn toward Him. I wrote in my Bible. See? Well, let me show you how I did that. And this is my Bible. And then I'm going to read my application prayer. Okay, so let's turn to the Bible, and you can look there with me. This is my Bible, And so I'm reading, "In the beginning was the Word." So that's the first of the titles. "And he was the light." That's the second title. Now, you notice highlighters that don't bleed through the page. See that? I love marking my Bible because look how that jumps out at you. And you see them. And there's another one. I'll show you the rest. But okay, this is what I wrote. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Listen to the Word. Then, by reading the footnotes and doing some cross-referencing, I wrote down Romans 10:17 right there. Do you know what that says? "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word." See, this is our whole salvation comes by listening to what God says and receiving His Word. Secondly, "in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overwhelm it or comprehend it." It actually means overwhelm. If you look down at the little, see that little A right there? That's down at the bottom of the page. That's a footnote. But look what I wrote. "So Jesus is the light." I wrote, "Turn toward the light." And then here's my favorite verse about that, Acts 26:18. It says, "to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to the light." Okay, then look at the next one. Right there it is. "No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him," declared God. So you know what I wrote? Now this is just me. I mean, I've spent all week long looking at this. I spent all week long praying and saying, "God, show me something." I wrote, my response to Him being the Son is, "Receive the Son." You know what it says in Hebrews 1:3? That Jesus Christ is the brightness of His glory and the express image of God. I want to receive His truth, His light, His life, His joy, His peace, the cleansing of all my sins. And you know what it says in 1 John 5:9? It says that Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. He is the one that brings us life and endless light, and He is the true and living God. Okay, keep going to right. There it is. Let me see if I can get this in the center so I can see it too. "The next day they saw Jesus coming toward Him, and He said, 'Behold, the Lamb.'" So notice it's blue again, just like all the others. Once I find a pattern, I put them in the same color. "So Jesus is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world." That's verse 29. Look at this. If He's the Lamb, I want to trust the Lamb. I'm trusting that He is my sacrifice for my sins. Here's the next one, verse 41. "He first found His own brother." This is talking about the two that heard John speak were Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. "So Andrew found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which translated is the Christ. So another title, look what I wrote. If He's the Messiah, the Christ, seek the Messiah. And look, you notice it's a different color because the longer I had to think about it, I wrote, what is Messiah? I mean, Jews are always talking about the Messiah. What is Messiah to me? Well, the Bible teaches Messiah is the one who keeps all the promises of God. Jesus is the one who brings to pass and accomplishes in the world and even more specifically in my life all the promises of God. Then next, verse 49, Nathanael answered and said to Him, "Rabbi, You are the Son of God. You are," and we've already covered the Son back over there. In verse 18, but look at this. I'm getting a little blurry. I need to hold still here. Nathanael answered and said to Him, "You are the Son of God." We already covered that in 18. "You are the," and look at, I put it in blue, another title, "the King of Israel." Now this is my response. Remember, the response is how I'm going to apply this in my life. And this is part, you'll see it in my prayer in a minute. I will follow and serve the King. He's my King. If He's my King, I want to serve Him and follow Him. And I wrote this verse, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, him being my king. Look at verse 51. And hereafter, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That's a reference. I looked it up, and you can do that in your study Bible and your footnotes. Genesis 28:12 is where that happened, where Jacob saw that ladder. But I thought, he's the Son of Man. And in the cross reference, I saw in Daniel 7, verses 9 to 14, he is called the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man. So remember, he represents and is the exact representation of God. And he's the ladder to heaven. So you know what I wrote? My response is, I'm going to spend my life grabbing and holding on to the ladder. I want to cling to the Son of God. So you can see now we're in chapter 2. So that's my Bible. And I hope that you'll take some time this week to mark your Bibles. Well, let's go back to the slides. And then I'm going to read this prayer. And actually, I typed this last night. And then I even wrote more in my journal. So I'll read both of them. But this is what you need to have in your journal. The application prayer, Jesus, you are the light that came to me in the darkness of my sin and shined in my heart. I turn and seek you as my light today. I want to receive your grace upon grace today. One of the parts of chapter 1 says, and of his fullness have we received grace upon grace. Did you know that in the Greek language, the way that's written, it's written like waves, like the ocean. And you know, you don't have to catch one wave because right behind it is what? Another. And what he's saying is God's grace is just one wave after another. There's no limit to his grace. By the way, what is grace? Grace is the unlimited favor, God giving us what we don't deserve. That's his grace. Now mercy, see, there's a difference. Grace is getting what we, the unlimited favor of God, getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is different. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. See, I deserve death and hell and punishment and eternal separation from God. That's God's mercy gives me the relief of that. I don't get what I do deserve, punishment. I do get what I don't deserve, his mercy and his grace and his love, okay? Continuing, reveal your Father even more to me today. Jesus reveals God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the more we see him, the more we truly see God. Remember, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God, 2 weeks ago or three when we were in Matthew 5 through 7, okay? I trust you as my Lamb of God who takes away all my sin. And I seek to follow you through all of life through this day before me. Now, I wrote a little bit more. Some of you are eager beavers and you like to do a lot of work. I did all the titles in this one. I said, you are the word I trust and listen to. You are the light I turn and follow. You are the only son I have received. You are my lamb who took my sin. You are a Messiah that dispenses God's promises. You are my king I will follow and serve. You are the Son of Man who came to rescue me. And I cling today to you and through life. In your precious name, amen. Just before we go, and by the way, we're a little team here. This couldn't come to you if Bonnie also didn't come after our long day of work and record this, and she's sitting over there capturing it. But I wanted to give you some prayer requests. We just finished a whole month of teaching Old Testament theology, and 2 classes a day, it's been amazing and a blessing, and the students are wonderful. We're starting in just, I don't know exactly what the date is today, but we're starting in just 2 days, a month of teaching elements of biblical interpretation. We already have students that are registered from the UK, Canada, South Africa, the Netherlands, and the United States. Many of them are frontline serving the Lord missionaries and pastors. The other half of them are next generation students. But among them, they're what we call tent makers. You know what that means? They can't leave what they're doing for the Lord and go somewhere to school. They're actually registering and attending online classes, and we're just one of their online classes. And so if you want to pray for us, pray for this month of elements of biblical interpretation. Theology, it's called hermeneutics, how to properly interpret the Bible. And I teach that, and I demonstrate, I illustrate that, and I show that. But this fall, we get to teach for 2 months a survey of all of Paul's epistles. History, geography, theology. Wow. So that's my journal. This is our 52 greatest chapters of the Bible small group study. Let's close in a word of prayer, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Father in heaven, I pray for each of these students. I launch them now by faith in Jesus' name to a week in the Gospel by John, chapter 1. I pray they get as many blessings out of it as I did. And I pray that you would open their eyes to behold wonderful things. Help them as they write those prayers of application. And then I pray that they would share it with someone. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you go, number one, my two final challenges, find someone. I'm not joking. You won't grow if you don't find someone that you're accountable with, where you say, what are you reading in the Bible? And you show them what you're reading in the Bible. If you do that, you'll help them and they will help you. Share your findings. Show them what you're finding. Show them how you're reading and marking the Word, and pray that prayer of application. Then start memorizing. Down in the description of this video, I tell you about my favorite, the Navigator verse memorization that I work on constantly. And one last kind of postscript. This is my wonderful wife, Bonnie. We're a team. We are missionaries serving in sub-Saharan Africa, the Middle East, in Central Europe, and across Asia, teaching and mobilizing and equipping partners. Europeans reaching Europe, Asians reaching Asia, Africans reaching Africa. Pray for us as we serve the Lord. God bless you. See you back next week.